Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday, just a couple minutes away from the most important audio in the world, and there's a lot, because there's a lot happening today, man. Rodney Nabalsi going to join us from UGASports.com. He's going to be a weekly guest for us throughout the entire college football season. And we weren't going to start with Roddy weekly until maybe 2 weeks from now. But there was some big Georgia news yesterday, Randy. Yeah. Jamie Newman's not going to play for him this year. And I know Roddy will have more details than we do, certainly. And he's got a lot of sources up there in Athens. And we'll pick his brain on what exactly happened yesterday and why now is still the question that I have with Jamie Newman. And where they go from here, really. I mean, it's okay, you know, it happened. Can't really sit around and worry about it. And good thing JT Daniels transferred. All the people who questioned Kirby Smart for making that move a couple months ago, Kirby looked pretty smart now, doesn't he?
Yeah, man. Give me a second.
Pretty good move.
I need to give me some water real quick. Andy, you burned your tongue so bad that you make your eye water?
Whew. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Man. What was it? What were you? Now, spicy
I made some cracked chicken last night, so I went and warmed some up real quick. And I was rushing back because Brian decided he wanted to come back from the commercial 1 minute earlier. And he burnt my tongue.
Watch out now!
The microwave? The microwave heat up?
It's in the Instapot, so did a little warming on it.
So you're blaming Brian for your tongue getting burned there?
Mm-hmm. Damn,
now, you made some chicken last night, you said?
Some cracked chicken, man.
I assume the chicken had bones in it?
Nah, Andy. Of course it had some damn bones.
Of course it did. Now, I'm just saying, because we were talking about boneless chicken wings in the last segment and how they're not real, we did have a chef text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, Chef Rod. Mm-hmm. He says, deboning chicken is a job. They debone the thigh, and you make a nugget out of it.
He's absolutely correct. And I like Chef Rod. All right. Chef Rod is loyal. We appreciate you, Chef Rod. That don't mean that you can call them boneless chicken wings. I know they got to take the meat off the bone. I get that part. But to say that a wing is a wing without a bone, it's just not right.
Well, the example he gave was a thigh. I don't know about anybody.
He didn't say no wing, did he?
Wings.
Yeah, Wayne. Right, he said no wing. Because wings. the thing about the wing is, Andy, people be forgetting about that tip, that delectable tip on the wing that should always be included. I know that I'm not the only one that, like, when you eat the whole chicken wing, I always save my tips for last. And my wife, my kids, make sure y'all bring the tips. So I have a plate full of about 12 tips.
I always go tip first.
I go tip last.
Well, that's where we're different. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably enough.
Yeah, that was going down the wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. I had one worse than that.
Yeah, let's get this audio.
The one
man.
Thing All I right. would say about Jamie is that he is a better thrower. Everybody talked about his athleticism, but he's a better thrower than people think, and I think JT's a better athlete. So, you know, obviously there's film on both of those guys. Obviously, JT is a young player at USC throwing the football. And there's film of Jamie obviously running Wake Forest's offense very efficiently. And like I said, I think from the first 5 days, I think JT's a better athlete than we would have thought. And Jamie's a much better thrower.
So that's Brian Gebhardt right there just saving us from ourselves, which I appreciate. That was the voice of Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator at Georgia, talking about what was a quarterback competition. This is the most important audio in the world. Brought to you by Johnson and Alday. Injury attorneys, visit JohnsonAlday.com. Now, that quarterback competition isn't between those two guys anymore because Jamie Newman opted out. And he's opting out because of COVID and concerns over the pandemic. He's got a grandmother who he's very close with, and that may have played into the conversation. I know that he's got a very good friend at Wake Forest, a wide receiver at Wake Forest, who opted out a couple of weeks ago. Maybe that played into it, talking to his buddy about it. I know Georgia on campus has had a spike in cases over the last week. Maybe that played into it. I don't know. I mean, this all just speculation. And that's all we can really do right now until we get a definitive answer from someone about why yesterday was the day that Jamie Newman decided not to play. What we do know is that he isn't going to play. And right. Brad Nessler told us last hour that he thinks that brings Georgia back to the pack a little bit.
It could. It could. Because we've seen – because I'm going to go back to what you said earlier in the show. People didn't know who Jamie Newman was, actually. A lot of people in the South didn't know, or Georgia fan. I knew who he was, but I got a chance to call his one of his bowl games. I saw how good a player that he was. But with that being said, like, your whole thing is, like, you think there's something that – there's a reasoning that isn't the reason that he gave for the reason to want to leave.
Well, I don't know. I think that's why you keep saying
– but you keep saying – why now? Why? Well, when the hell was the perfect time for him? Maybe this was the time for him. Maybe he thought
maybe
about
it
for a while. I just believe in this. If that's your decision, then you make your decision. I don't know why he made it. You might be right. I agree with when you say, COVID's been around a long time. what about this decision now? Yeah, it was a big spike at Georgia. Could that have been him like, okay, I got to go to class with these folks possibly. You know, they're not taking it serious. I don't know. We said this 2 weeks ago. I'm tired of blaming these college students for being college students. You know, hey, they're going to party. They're going to drink. They're going to do all that stuff. But, I mean, this is a situation where, yeah, it does bring Georgia back to the pack because you don't know. We didn't even know what Jamie Newman was going to be able to do with Georgia.
And
you know,
that's that's the thing that blows my mind about all of this is – yeah, Jamie Newman played at Wake Forest, and I know you saw him play, and certainly is a talented football player. There's no doubt about it. But we spent a lot of time over the last couple of months, rightfully so, saying we don't know what the Georgia offense is going to look like. It's a new offensive coordinator who is going to change some things. How much is it going to change? I don't know. It's a new quarterback taking a step into a new system. What's that going to look like? I don't know. Like, it's hard for me to say – like one way or the other, how big of a difference this makes for Georgia, because I literally had no idea how big of a difference Jamie Newman was going to make anyway.
I agree.
Like, I didn't know how good the offense was going to be with him. I don't know how good the offense is going to be now without him. JT Daniels is a really good quarterback too. He's a different type of quarterback, but it's hard to overreact one way or the other without ever having seen him on the field in this offense, or JT Daniels on the field in this offense, or DeJuan Mathis, who's now getting some conversation over the last couple of days in this offense. Like, we didn't know anyway, and we still don't know. What we do know is one of the options isn't going to be there anymore. Like, that's what we know.
That's the thing. We know that. That's why we talk about JT Daniels. Just because JT Daniels was a five-star, whatever he was, how do we know he's going to be that good? We put too much emphasis on the star part about it. And we're like, did we see enough of him from USC to determine that this guy is going to be the guy who lifts Georgia up? We don't know about that. That's the crazy thing about it is, why am I upset now about something I really didn't know? Did I think Jamie Newman was going to be the starter? Yeah, I did. But he's not here anymore. So now, do I think JT Daniels is going to be a starter? I don't know. I have more confidence in knowing that Jamie Newman is going to be a starter than I do about JT Daniels being a starter.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to count out DeJuan Mathis. I'm not going to count him out because I don't know if he's what he's been doing. We talk about the dual threat that you need to run this. Oh, no, that they would prefer to run Todd Monk's offense. Well, he gives you that. But JT Daniels is a better athlete than you think.
You want to hear Todd Monken talk about DeJuan Mathis?
Of course I do, Andy.
Let's do it.
Been impressed with both of them. Both of them are very talented young players. Obviously, DeJuan last year missed part of the season. But with Carson coming in the spring and being here, obviously was here for the bowl game, you can see a lot of things that you like from Carson's end of it, from his throwing and his athleticism. DeJuan, his athleticism and his arm talent as he continues to develop. And they've been rotating like the other guys in terms of giving them an opportunity to compete for the job. So their future is really bright.
And just in case not everyone knows this, the reason DeJuan Mathis missed a lot of the season or missed the season last year was because he had a cyst on his brain.
Yeah,
he had to get brain surgery. He wasn't cleared to even have contact for months after that. So, I mean, you want to talk about a story that you can root for. That's right there. I mean, that's a hell of a thing for him to be able to be back in the mix. And who knows, now with Jamie Newman leaving, maybe he's a guy who's competing for the starting job. Maybe he gets the starting job. I have no idea. Yeah. There was one other thing I wanted to say about this. I'm sure it'll come to me. We'll talk to Roddy Nabalsi coming up in 15 minutes. He'll have a lot to say about this as well.
It's funny because the Bat Boy, when I was on deck, he said, are you going for the trifecta? And, you know, I didn't even really want to think about it. So I kind of just laughed it off and didn't get too deep into it.
Adam Duvall talking about trying to clear his mind and not think about the third home run that he hit last night. Well, whatever he did worked because he did it. And the Braves become the first team in Major League Baseball history to have back-to-back games with two guys hitting three home runs. Marcelo Ozuna a couple nights ago against the Red Sox. Adam Duvall last night against the Red Sox. And if these guys could play at Fenway Park for the remainder of the season, I think every Brave would be fine with that because they were tearing the cover off the baseball up there. But it's great. It's awesome. It's awesome to see them do what they did. And this is a way, we talked about this yesterday, Randy, all the firepower that the Braves have in their lineup. This is how you deal with bad pitching. And they didn't get very good pitching yesterday from Robbie Irwin.
Oh, they did not. They did not. But I'm going to take off the play cousin, okay, and just go on with it because I can't deal with another one of these guys that I don't know. And when you said his name and when you said his last time, I was like, who the hell is this guy? All right, because he ain't one of ours. Like, we like Ian Anderson and Nuke and Tookie and all of them. We can kind of, because they ours. You know, they were drafted, they were developed, even though they ain't playing worth a blank. But this guy here, you new to the party. And you acting up like this between you and that damn Tommy, y'all better get it together. All right? Y'all better get it together. But the offense was there, Andy. But it's something that we keep on harboring on, Bunk, is that offense is not going to be able to get you out of every single hole. It is right now, for the most part. But, I mean, you got to get some more consistency. I mean, I'm not even going to call Ian Anderson a consistent pitcher. He's been consistent since he's been here. Max Fried is a consistent pitcher. We're trying to get Ian Anderson there. But we need somebody else, man. Somebody else. I mean,
can I interest you in Mike Foltynewicz?
I mean, he up there eating spaghetti and spaghetti meatballs and meatloaf, you know, and eating the whole loaf of garlic bread, so he putting weight back on. So,
is that their tactic? They're just taking him to Olive Garden and just ordering breadsticks.
When you're not hungry, you become average.
He gonna come.
That's why he was so bad.
He gonna come back looking like Roberto Colon. That's what he gonna do. Just come back looking bloated. But as long as he can throw 98, 99, hey, man, y'all just keep feeding him. Is that Olive Garden right over there off of Kyle Parkway?
There is. Just send him to just get breadsticks. Keep him coming. If he doesn't look like he wants anymore, keep him coming. He's eating breadsticks until he can throw 95 again.
We don't want no salad. No, I love Olive Garden. No, he don't need no salad. No, keep you take salad. That back. Keep the bread. Bring the breadsticks. All right? More.
Pasta bowls and breadsticks. If you can do it, have you ever had it where you get like a chili or like a chowder or something in a sourdough bowl? Like the bowl is literally made out of bread. Have you ever had that before?
The only time I've ever had the bowl bread is in San Fran when you go get the clam chowder down there by Alcatraz. Yes.
Clam chowder in a sourdough bread bowl. That's what Mike Foltynewicz needs to be. Even his silverware needs to be made out of bread. Put the carbs on. That's the ticket.
Man, do you know how good that damn clam chowder was with that bread bowl?
I do.
My God.
I do. That's a go-to for me at Husky Stadium.
Man.
Nice, cold, rainy fall football day. UW versus Cal or somebody like that. Yeah, at halftime, go get a sourdough bread bowl. Yeah, that'll get you.
Oh, man.
Let's hear from Ito Smith talking about the O-line chemistry.
Oh, they know I can go anywhere. You never know where I'm gonna go to play. Might be designed to go left. I might end up on the right. So it's funny because Jake a couple weeks ago, Jake was like, "Hey, just make me look good, man. I'm gonna go and just make me look good."
I mean, yeah, that all sounds great. I don't know if Ito Smith's supposed to go left, going right is indicative of offensive line chemistry, but whatever works. I don't care. Yeah. We just need that offensive line to be working as a cohesive unit. blocking for Ito Smith, Todd Gurley, the rest of these guys, Matt Ryan most specifically, and keeping Matt Ryan off his butt. That is, to me, key A number one number for Falcons success this season.
Numero uno.
Numero and what about Ito? Uno. How much does Ito factor into the offensive equation this year?
They like Ito, man. And Ito, I like Ito. I think Ito, he brings Ito a different dynamic as far as he's one of those scat backs. He got the Zuzus, that stuff right there. Obviously, I think he's going to probably start out being the returner, especially the kickoff returner right now. And so, I mean, he has a role on this team. And they like him. I used to get upset because they used to always run him in short yardage. I mean, that belly play, and it never worked. But, I mean, I was curious about that. But I think Ito has a nice role, and they like him here. I'm not going to say for some reason. They have their reasons for liking him. But, yeah, he's going to be a factor, especially if he's the kickoff returner and possibly maybe even fill in for Todd Gurley on third down.
I thought of the thing that I was going to say about the Georgia quarterback situation. I know that was 8 minutes ago.
Let me hear.
It hit me. I'm going to ask Roddy about it as well. Does it matter that much who the quarterback is? Like, how hard is it for whoever plays quarterback to be better than what Jake Fromm was last year?
That's a great point, but damn, quarterback hard, man.
It is, but they won a lot of football games last year with average quarterback play, and that's what Jake Fromm was last year.
But where did it get you? What did that get you?
SEC championship game. I mean, you lost to one of the great college football teams of all time.
So? Yeah, they were pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean, LSU beat the hell out of everybody. I mean,
they were pretty damn good.
So, anyway, let's hear Brad Guzan talk about how last night's game and Pitty Martinez not being there didn't affect them mentally.
If you're asking from a mentality standpoint, you know, did it affect us as a group in terms of, you know, the news coming out before our pre-match, and then obviously we're at the training ground and you know, we all start to get confirmation that, you know, it's true, it's going to happen, whatever. That part, it's no. It's similar to if somebody gets injured, you know, somebody gets injured and maybe they've got to take a fitness test the day of a game, and then the news comes back that they can't go, they're not fit enough to go. Well then next guy up, and that's the case.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, no offense to Brad Guzan. He's played a lot of soccer at a high level, and he knows what he's talking about. But I would say Pitty Martinez getting transferred yesterday in the middle of the day is a little different than finding out that he has a hamstring pull.
Man, what up, dog? Hey, man, I bet they would lock. Hey, Pitty gone. Okay.
Okay. We're good. Who fills in?
He don't even look like he the type of cat that'll come dap you up after you leave. Like,
no, most he's guys just gone.
Hey, man, I'm out, man. Yeah, appreciate it, man. Just appreciate gone. You. Pitty, you want to go over and get your stuff? No.
His sure? locker's still fully stocked.
Yes. Yes.
His cologne's no. still in there, his hair mousse, all that yeah. stuff is still in there.
He's like a brute guy.
He definitely has a mirror in his locker to do his
Oh, you know he does, but he's like a brute guy.
Brute guy. We'll talk to Roddy Nabalsi coming up next about what happened yesterday at Georgia. No Jamie Newman. So what next? Roddy Nabalsi next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy, 20 minutes away from some damn good questions with Brian Gebhardt. We'll get back into what's trending top of the 1 o'clock hour. And again, it's been a crazy 24 hours, so a lot of headlines to get caught up on at 1 o'clock. Smoke and Joe Patrick going to join us at 1:20 as well. Talk some Atlanta United and some Braves. But Roddy Nabalsi joins the show on the WadeFord.com hotline from UGASports.com. And Roddy, when we talked last week, I said
what's
at
up,
the
Rod?
Interview, first of all, Roddy, hi, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
At the end of the interview, I said, what do you know definitively about the UGA offense? And you said, they're going to run the ball a lot. well.
I knew this was coming. I was right.
We should have read between the lines on what you were telling us. But seriously, when you found the news out yesterday about Jamie Newman, how surprised were you?
I was quite stunned. We started hearing words around 12:30, 1 o'clock that this is maybe happening. You need to look into it. But again, it came from, you know, a friend of a brother of a cousin, you know, who had their hair done, you know, by an auto mechanic or something like that. Just, it was really far out there. And I thought it was just one of those typical, I mean, this time of year, we spend half our day running down false rumors. And drives you crazy. You spend 4 or 5 hours running down a rumor, find out it's not true. And then you can't do it. You have nothing to report because the rumor's incorrect. So, you know, when you go to the front page of UGASports.com, there's no story there because the rumors that we ran down did not exist. But this one, we got it, and we heard that it was likely going to happen. We sat on it for a while until we could confirm that it was true, and we knew that he was putting together a announcement. And once we knew that he had an announcement coming, we went ahead and ran the story, put the news out there that he was opting out. we weren't the only ones caught off guard. I was told that some of the support staff, not the coaches, but some of the people around the program, didn't find out before practice or found out right before practice on their way to the field. Basically, by looking at Twitter and Google and stuff like that, they this was not something that was well known within the program that was coming. This was a shock to pretty much everybody.
And Roddy, because I know when you were texting yesterday, the first thing I said when I texted you, I was like, did you expect this? Your whole answer, no. And so when you look at this whole thing, because I'm going back to what some of you said you were sitting on this story. How long ago have you been hearing these rumors about him possibly opting out?
No, so it was just hours, you know.
Okay. I thought you might have heard days or something.
But it was like 12:30, 1 o'clock. We're like, hey, this is a possibility. No, not going to happen. Because the day before, here's the thing. We had our podcast. We do it every Tuesday. We usually do it with Coach Don, and he couldn't be in the show yesterday. But the question came up, is anybody going to opt out? You just saw that UCF had 10 guys opt out, right. You know, and LSU was absolutely destroyed, you know, with guys opting out. And someone asked us, you know, a reader, hey, who's going to opt out at UGA? We're like, nobody we can think of. I mean, there was a hint that Richard LeCount might, but, I mean, this guy's an All-American, and Richard wants to play. That's why he came back for his senior season. Jamari Sawyer hasn't really shown enough, you know, tackle. He's been a guard before. He needs it. And Jamie Newman is specifically coming to Georgia to have that year that puts him in the talk amongst the best quarterbacks in the nation. He's kind of on the outside looking in there, especially behind Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. But if you really want to get into the quarterback talk, you need to have a big year. And I mean, he did really well at Wake Forest, but let's see what you can do at Georgia with, you know, throwing to George Pickens and behind that big offensive line. So we 24 hours ago, we're saying, no chance. Nobody's opting out. Not that we've heard. So, yeah, it really came as a surprise.
Roddy Nabalsi joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Roddy's going to join us every Wednesday throughout the college football season. Follow him on Twitter, as always, at Roddy Nabalsi, and check out UGASports.com for all your Georgia news. So, I mean, I guess the next question is, and I would imagine you guys are probably trying to track this one down too, is why yesterday? Like, what happened? What happened between whenever he was fully committed to playing and the decision to opt out because of COVID?
That's just it. We don't know. I will say this. The number one theory was that he was not going to win the job. He saw that and thought that it would be too big of a hit for him to get beat out for the starting job. And consequently, he would go ahead, go pro, start working out for the NFL Combine and try to coast in on his accolades from Wake Forest and being one of the hottest graduate transfers in the nation. You know, everybody wanted him. That is untrue. He was not beaten out for the job. He was taking more snaps with the number one team than anybody else. He had not been crowned the starter, but everybody I've spoken to, inside, outside, beside, under, above the program, has told me that Jamie Newman was leading quite handily in the quarterback race. A lot of people are pointing to JT Daniels, you know, the guy who started at USC as a true freshman. JT Daniels still isn't even cleared for contact yet. So you don't put that guy out there as your number one guy. So it was not a situation where he was losing the job. There's been speculation that when he saw Dom Blaylock get hurt, you know, that made him worry about it a little bit. He had one of his buddies from Wake Forest is opting out. I think it was just and also don't forget yesterday, the University of Georgia reported 819 new COVID cases amongst the student and staff population. Now, granted, there's 50,000 people, but it was quite the increase from – I think 189, so it jumps to 819. I think somebody just got in his ear and said, well, you know, it's why take a chance? You could get hurt like Dom Blaylock. You could catch this virus going around, or you have very good tape. The NFL drafts based on potential. You've proven enough. And there's no pushback for any of these other guys that have opted out. So why take the chance of getting hurt? So I think all that combines for him to say yesterday, look, with all this uncertainty, I certainly know I want to go to the NFL, and that's what I'm going to work towards for the next 6 months.
And right, I know you don't have the crystal ball or whatever, but in your estimation, who do you think will probably be the starting quarterback when they go up to Arkansas? Because we know JT comes in with this, you know, hot shot, five-star type reputation. Then you got this kid, DeJuan Mathis, who nobody has seen. I told them earlier, I went back and watched some of his tape from high school, and I was like, this kid can play, and yet they're talking about a dual-threat quarterback for this system. So in your opinion, what do you think Georgia might do as a starting quarterback for that Arkansas game?
Well, I was just on the radio in Birmingham. They said, you know, who's the starter under center against Arkansas? And I said, well, you know, they're 1A and 1B right now. And I couldn't designate which one is which. The idea being, what does Todd Monken want to call? Does he want to go with the Kirby style of offense, which, as you guys know, is very pro style, run first, you know, throw later. You have three different five-star tailbacks in that room right now, plus a bunch of five-stars on the offensive line. You're going to run the ball, like we mentioned last week. And then you have a quarterback who's running the pro style, which, you know, Kirby likes that. There's a lot less opportunities. He hates seeing those quarterbacks roll out and pitch the ball out. And the more times the ball is in the air, the more nervous Kirby gets. He's all about ball security. So that's just the way he is. But if you want to run that dual threat style, you know, you want to center an offense around the quarterback, you know, and that, you know, a quarterback who could take off and run if a play breaks down, or have designed runs like they ran in the scrimmage last week. Juan Mathis is your guy. He could do it. He's lightning fast. A lot of people don't realize how quick he is. He's one of the fastest kids on the team. He's not the biggest guy. He's a little skinny, but he's put on some muscle mass. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's got a cannon for an arm. Some of our Midwest analysts were telling us, look, Juan Mathis is a steal for Georgia when they got him away from Ohio State when Justin Fields went up there. So remember, like signing day a couple years ago, Georgia flipped Juan Mathis at the last second to come to Georgia. He was going to be the next great quarterback at Ohio State. But JT Daniels was the guy who entered college a year younger than everybody else in his class. He was supposed to be a 2019 guy. He jumped into the 2018 class. He reclassified. And even then, he was still the number four player in the nation behind Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. So he was the third quarterback in that group, top four in the nation, started as a true freshman at USC, played some big games, was very good. He is your typical, you know, Matt Stafford-style quarterback, just absolutely can rip you apart, makes good decisions, a little more mobile than people thought. But again, he is coming off that ACL issue. So both are coming off injuries. Both are almost cleared or ready to go. I think you have a 1A, 1B, but it comes down to what type of offense does Todd Monken want to run, but what does Kirby let him run? And to me, that decides your quarterback race.
Roddy, since you mentioned Justin Fields' name a couple times, I wasn't going to do this, but I mean, you said his name, so that's absurd, right? There's no chance of any of that happening here.
Look, if I shoot this down, do you know how many clicks I lose?
Okay, I don't want to hurt your clicks.
I lose thousands of clicks if I shoot this rumor down. Now, luckily, the great thing about working at UGAsports.com is that we are subscription-based, so we don't have to do any of that clickbait garbage that a lot of people have to do. And we saw yesterday that there was a screenshot going around showing Justin Fields in the student directory, and we pointed out on our board after a great 10-page thread that was just hilarious. Look, that is a old – he was enrolled at Georgia, and under that account is his 2018 class schedule, his 2019 withdrawal. It's not a new Justin Fields listing in the UGA directory. And we pointed out, look, classes have already started at Georgia. He's not coming back. Or if he did, drop ads over. He needs special dispensation to be advised. That hasn't happened. We confirmed that. So, yes, we broke the news Saturday that he was in town, but he has a lot of friends on this team. He did not leave in a bad way. The door is always welcome for him to come back, but he's either going to play at Ohio State, he practiced up there yesterday, or he's going to go play for the NFL. And we even spoke to his dad this morning, and his dad said, look, guys, my teachers always told me there was no such thing as a dumb question, but that may be one. Justin Fields is not coming back, and it's fun to speculate on, but he would be welcome back. Remember, Kirby Smart did that with Demetrius Robinson when Demetrius left.
Welcome back, like as far as like playing, or welcome back to come hang out with his friend, Roddy.
Oh well, you know, Kirby's to take anybody back to play.
Okay,
but it's just not going to happen, you know.
Okay,
again, they did not leave on bad terms. I know a lot of people thought that, you know, he threw George under the bus, vice versa. Now the coaches love him. The players love him. He would be welcome back to play. But, I mean, he has not taken one snap with Todd Monken, doesn't know this offense. You know, there's no point for him coming back. And, I mean, he's a Heisman Trophy semifinalist finalist at Ohio State. He loves Ryan Day, and that's where, if they play, that's where he'll play this year.
Roddy, we appreciate it.
My
great
dude.
Stuff, as always. Great work yesterday, as always, as well. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it, brother.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday, still Trillville Thursday, 20 minutes away from what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Our guy Smokin' Joe Patrick going to join us at 1:20, and it's a good day to have Joe on as the Braves made some history last night, sweep the Red Sox as well, Atlanta United. Unfortunately, Atlanta United didn't play very well last night, like, but the Papiti Martinez news certainly is the big headline there. And honestly, you know, just from a like a general reaction standpoint, it's probably a good thing that Papiti Martinez is the headline, because at least it's distracting from what a disaster they are right now on the field.
They didn't lose.
They didn't lose. That is a good point.
They did not lose.
They got a point out of it at home. They didn't get, and I heard Jason Longshore this morning talking about how the defensive shape was better. But he also talked about how lost they look, and he's absolutely right. And I just, you know, losing another really good player like Papiti Martinez isn't going to help that. I mean, Pitti was the reason they won a couple weeks ago. A couple really nice goals, and, you know, he was inconsistent, but sometimes when that consistency would mean a good game, Pitti was as hard to stop as anybody in the league. Unfortunately, other times he would disappear, and you wouldn't see him. Or even if you did, it wouldn't be for good reasons for 90 minutes. So I don't know. I don't know what Atlanta United does right now. They're in a. Can you imagine saying what we're saying right now about Atlanta United 18 months ago?
Nope.
Like, they don't have a manager. Jose Martinez is hurt, which is a big part of it. The designated player they signed, South American Player of the Year. Is he still that, by the way? Like, when he goes to Saudi
Arabia?
Hey, man,
don't say that. Don't say it.
Well, but he's gone now, so whatever.
So? And that makes it even worse. He's a Player of the Year. Ooh. You know how good the soccer is down there, man.
I'm just saying.
I should have went and talked. I should have went over to RERA and found America's soccer dude. Oh, yeah, bro. Down there in South America, they play in this. Yeah, you know, so I can get a better perspective. But it's just all about what you like, bro. You know, some guys, they do it in a different scheme down there, bro.
When Andy and Randy of Saudi Arabia talk about this signing today or tomorrow, I don't know the time difference.
Yeah.
Do they call him the South American Player of the Year? Probably. That's all.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. They got. I don't think they might not have no sports over. I mean, sports over there as far as like shows.
Why not? They got sports radio everywhere.
I know. I'm curious. That's a good.
I don't know.
No.
Maybe we could be syndicated. Maybe we can.
I wonder if the radio.com is over there.
I bet they have radio.com.
Let's see if we can find. You want to go see if we can find like a local station over there and see if they're talking about Pitti?
Yeah, that would actually be really great if we could find some. We'd have to get a translator probably.
Yeah.
Anyway,
they're talking about Pitti.
15 minutes away from what's trending. Let's get to some questions with Brian.
Time now for some damn good questions about stuff and things with Brian Gephardt.
Brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. Dial 678 ESOG now.
There it is. There it is. I love it. So my first question is actually related to Papiti Martinez. Yesterday, obviously, after we got off the air, as most things do, a lot of news broke during Dukes and Bell. You know, Papiti leaving, Jamie Newman opting out. And I wanted to look at it this way. Who is the bigger loss to their team? Jamie Newman. Okay.
How do you know?
Was going to say Papiti Martinez.
Yeah, let me finish the question. Jamie Newman, who hadn't played a down at all for UGA, or Papiti Martinez, who we've seen, you know, for quite some time now with Atlanta United. What's the bigger loss?
Jamie Newman.
Okay, how do you know? It's my same question. How do you know that?
Because I want to know that. Because I'd see what all I could see for Papiti. Papiti did not live up to all the, well, you know, he's American Player of the Year. Uh-huh. Oh, man, that didn't even, he could play. If he's that good in that country, you know how good their soccer is down there?
It's a continent.
I know it's a continent, but I'm talking about the country where he was in. Uh-huh. Was he the South American, the whole continent?
The whole continent, the South American Player of the Year, all of it. Chile, and, Bolivia, I know.
And see, that's what I'm trying. What I'm trying to do, Andy, is make it seem like it's a little small city, because that's a big ass continent. And for you to be the Player of the Year down there, and you come up here and play like boo hoo hoo, no. So I'm saying it's a damn cut. You know where he's at? He's in a parish. The parish Player of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. He wasn't any player of the year in MLS. There's no doubt about that. He wasn't even the best player on Atlanta United last season. We agree on that. I just don't know what Jamie Newman was going to be. Like, everybody is acting like they had this guarantee that Jamie Newman was going to come in.
You know
and
what's so funny?
You
know what's so damn funny about you right now, Andy Bunker?
What?
Because you were just talking about that in the last hour about people flip-flopping and pancaking over this. You weren't pancaking earlier. Now you're pancaking because you got the news yesterday. So you pancaking like them.
Go back and listen to anything I ever said about Jamie Newman and tell me when I said for sure that it was going to work out great. I didn't because I had no idea.
That ain't my job to go look at. I'm just going to make it up as I go.
Well, we talk about it all the time. We've talked a lot about Jamie Newman and Todd Monken, and everything that I've said is, ooh, a lot of question marks on the offensive side of the ball for Georgia. I hope it works out. A lot of question marks. No guarantee. No guarantee
of anything. Well,
there's
no guarantee in any damn thing, Andy Bunker.
But a lot of people are acting like it was. They were acting like it was until yesterday when Jamie Newman.
Were they acting like it was going to work because of him, or were they acting like it was going to work because of the totality of all the good damn players they got?
Probably a little bit of both, but you cannot sit here and tell me that Jamie Newman was not talked about like he was the second coming simply because he transferred to Georgia. Like,
I never thought that. I just thought he was a damn good player.
I know you did.
Because I got a chance to see him play.
I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about the hilarious narrative shift yesterday from Jamie Newman being, Pro Football Focus College said he's the best.
Oh, my God. If that ain't
ever.
The dumbest freaking.
Best graduate transfer of all time. And now it's he's a Wake Forest quarterback.
God, if that's not the craziest and the most annoying thing right there, that reference thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my. He's the best when somebody said he's the best transfer quarterback ever, I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
Joe Burrow transferred. He wasn't the graduate transfer, but he transferred. He was pretty good.
Make my head hurt, bro.
I know. But that's all I'm saying. I don't know. I still don't know what Georgia's offense is going to look like.
You just don't want it to work. You want me to be as miserable as you are this college football fall season. Because
now that is not true. That is not true. Look, my college football team is so irrelevant. The conference they play in can't even be used as a political ploy. When Brad Nessler was on, God, it hurt my soul when Brad Nessler was on at 11:20, and he goes, yeah, and wouldn't it be nice if Ohio State played and Penn State and Oregon out there in the Pac-12? Brad, come on, man. Oregon's been to just as many college football playoffs as Washington has. You could use Washington as the example if you wanted to, but I get it. I understand. No, I don't want you to be miserable. I'm an Appalachian State football fan this fall because they're actually playing and my wife went there. But I want Georgia to do well, of course. I want you and Brian to be happy. Yeah, I do. I want Georgia Tech to do well also. I want to have a lot to talk about. I know you don't.
I need Georgia Tech to stink, which they probably will. Yeah.
All right, Brian's got another question.
All right, so a lot of talk about college football there. We mentioned Brad Nessler was on earlier in the show. For those of you who didn't hear it, he was on at 11:20. You can go to 929thegame.com to check that out. And we heard the SEC on CBS jingle. I'll play it in just a moment. But my question for you guys is there any other theme sports-wise or maybe even music where you hear those first couple notes and it creates that emotion and that reaction for you? Here's that SEC on CBS jingle. Yeah, so anything like that to you guys? Is there any equal? Is there any other song that matches this?
When you play that song that makes Wendy mad, or me and Andy,
Big Pun song?
The Big Pun song.
I'm going to try something. I don't know if it's going to work. It might be a terrible idea, so get your fingers on the dump button. But the only song that makes me anywhere near like the idea of what Brian's talking about is this. It didn't have the intro. When Juvenile says Cash Money Records taken over for the 99 in 2000,
hey, dude. When that
that's
beat
the
come
rap
on,
equivalent of the CBS football song.
I don't care where you at. You could be at a bar mitzvah. You can be at the old folks home. You could be anywhere. When that Juvenile dropped, when that doom, everybody stop. You always stop what you're doing. Hey. I was gonna say, bands make a dance because when you're in the shake and that come on, if you ain't got that extra rack, you gotta run to the ATM real quick.
Here it is.
Because you can't be broke when that song come on.
Oh man, it didn't do it again. I don't know why.
But yeah, when that back that, it, it, boom, Everybody stopped, and everybody got to look around like, yay.
There's one more song that makes me feel that way, and I believe our friend Oren Romain, who the morning show producer, he tweeted out the other day that Nuck If You Buck turned 16 years old. So I'm going to let that take us to break here. And once you hear those first couple things, it's that this creates a certain atmosphere for a lot of people.
You know something's about to happen.
Everybody know about it when it came, because I was in college when this came on. So when we was in Club Zebra for my boy Earl Chambers' birthday party, man, we left that club. There wasn't no more ceiling tiles. Them pool sticks were broken, and we wasn't even fighting nobody.
Right, you were just fighting yourself. You're fighting the beat. That's what's so great about this song.
I come in that club shaking my dad.
I'll be 80 years old and want to fight to this song. We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.